Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today we're exploring the difference between creating to be seen and creating as a way of understanding yourself. We're surrounded by noise, speed, constant output, and the pull of instant gratification. Today's guest invites us to slow down, reconnect with our inner voice, and rediscover creativity as something far more personal, expressive, and meaningful. James McRae is an author, poet, and creative mentor known for helping people move beyond self-doubt and reconnect with their imagination. Through his writing, teaching, and community work, he explores the relationship between creativity, identity, and the inner dialogue that often shapes how freely we show up in the world. James, it's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome to the show.
The honor is all mine. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. Now, James, let's start with your journey. What led you into the world of creativity, writing, and teaching?
Sure. Well, you know, I believe that all children are naturally creative. I think that is our inclination when we're young. So I think we all sort of begin on that path in some way or another. You know, creativity can take so many different forms. For me, it was writing and drawing and, you know, poetry and painting and eventually graphic design and writing books. But, you know, for me, I grew up in a very small town in Minnesota here in the U.S.
Yes.
And, you know, there was something about living in a small town that gave me a lot of freedom for my imagination to wander. You know, there wasn't a lot of pressure to become a doctor or a lawyer. You know, my parents afforded me a lot of freedom to be a writer and to express myself through creativity. So from an early age, that's where I was interested. And, you know, it's so challenging to, as you become an adult, to retain that creative spirit and to stay connected to your imagination and intuition, because there are so many distractions and expectations and obligations that come with being an adult in our society. So it's really been a constant, you know, challenge, but also, you know, stepping into my own calling and purpose as a creator. And my journey's taken so many different twists and turns. You know, I went to an art school, so I studied graphic design, and I like to say that I snuck into the business world through the back door as an artist, because I got a job as a graphic designer and got my foot into the advertising world. And from there, I sort of looked around and pivoted and expanded my horizons, and I became a brand strategist. Yes. And I spent a decade in New York City as a brand strategist, doing messaging and marketing campaigns for all sorts of brands. And eventually, you know, I sort of felt stuck in that career as well. You know, even though it was creative, I wasn't fulfilled as an artist, and I wasn't using my own voice. So I felt rather stuck a few years back in advertising, and I returned to poetry for the first time in many years, and I sort of reopened the floodgates of my own creative expression, and I started writing poetry, I started writing books, I started growing an audience on social media. Mm-hmm. And then once I grew an audience on social media, and I you know, started to learn how to monetize that audience through, for me, teaching and coaching what I've learned in my life as a creator. So I teach poetry classes, I teach personal branding and social media classes, and I have a an online community called Sunflower Club, which is a supportive place to nurture creativity and writers and artists and content creators. So I've sort of made my own creative journey a vocation where I help others do the same.
And that's beautiful. Thank you, James. And there's something really honest in what you've shared there, especially around that shift from childhood into adulthood. And it shows that creativity can evolve into something both fulfilling and impactful. But as you know, many people feel disconnected from their creativity. So where do you think that disconnection begins?
Well, the disconnection could begin in a number of places. You know, I think there are plenty of people who feel they might not be good enough or creative enough or talented enough. You know, I'm thinking back to being a kid or in high school when there's creative projects, and some kids thrive in that environment and others struggle, and they might enjoy it. They might like what they're doing, but then when they show it or share it or present it, it's like they don't receive the same, you know, applause as maybe some of the more talented kids. So some people get this idea in their head that, well, I guess I'm just not creative. So that's one. And then secondly, at a certain point, you know, kids start to move into, I need to think about college and I need to think about a career. And those creative ideas sort of are the first to go because they're perceived as not practical.
Yes.
So to respond to those two points, you know, the first thing I want to say is that you have to be a bad artist before you can be a good artist. And I think talent is highly overrated because there might be someone who was born with a natural talent, but talent will only get you so far, you know. And I know plenty of people from high school who were very talented as artists and more talented than me, you know, that won art awards and things, and or in my college who were, you know, were perceived as more talented and maybe initially got a better job than I did. But unless you have that dedication and consistency, I think dedication and consistency are much more important than talent. Because you can do so many things as a writer, as an artist, as a musician, you know, that might not be as technically proficient as others, but there's this sort of energy to it. There's a perspective to it that's unique to that artist. So it's not about having the most talent or being the most skilled. It's sort of, can you craft something that's uniquely yours that has an emotional resonance in people? And I think that I think of creativity as, you know, if you want to be a professional creator, that's great. And I think there's certainly opportunity to do so. But I think that we tend to measure everything in our society on some basically like a capitalistic hierarchy where it's like the best are at the top and then everyone else is just sort of not good enough. So I like to compare creativity to exercising, for example. Like, you know, I like to go for a jog by the lake, you know, and I am never going to be an Olympic runner. And that's not why I do it. I don't care if I'm the best runner. That's not my intention. It doesn't matter. I do it because I like it and because it's good for me. So I think creativity has so many benefits to our well-being. I think it's emotional and spiritual hygiene to create. I think it's something, it's an energy that moves through us and it connects us with that inner child, which is the part of us that sees the world through a lens of curiosity and wonder. So it really helps us to reconnect with that. And there's therapeutic value to creativity, whether you are professional or not. So I like to say that it's not about being good at creativity. it's about creativity being good for you. And if you do have ambitions to go beyond just doing it as a hobby, I think that it's just about dedication, practice, consistency, and just it. There's a great quote by the jazz musician Miles Davis, and he said, "Sometimes it takes a long time to sound like yourself." So it's so important to just find your voice, find your style. And it takes years to do that, to be honest. So many people just give up too soon.
Yes, and that's true. Thank you, James, for such a beautiful share. And I think that's such an important shift in how we understand creativity as well. What you've said takes the pressure off needing to be the best or the most talented. And instead, it brings it back to something much more personal and meaningful. I really like that comparison to exercise, because it reframes creativity as something we do for our own well-being, not just for an outcome or recognition. And that idea of consistency and dedication, you said, over talent, is something I think a lot of people need to hear, especially those who may have stepped away from their creative side. You know, your work often touches on the ego, and I think ego can get in the way. How does ego show up when someone is trying to create or express themselves?
Certainly. I think that, you know, the mind is a very tricky thing. And we tend to think as of the mind as maybe just being one thing. It's this machine that calculates and thinks and analyzes. But the mind has many facets, and it can be quite multidimensional. So I like to talk about the ego versus the intuition. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, most of us live our lives primarily in a state of ego. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be bad in some regards. So I think the ego is sort of the most shallow part of our mental construct. You could describe it as the lizard brain. So for example, it's like the earliest developed part of our brain, similar to what you might see in a lizard, which is really wired for survival. Mm. And what it tends to do is scan its environments and look for threats. And it stays on the surface, and it's sort of, I also compare it to a computer's hard drive. So in other words, on a computer's hard drive, you've got access to the limited number of files which are already on that hard drive. Yeah. So it can sort of think about things, it can analyze things, but then the ego gets in this loop of overthinking. And you can sort of get stuck there. And the ego sort of thrives on fear and, you know, this reactive nature of thinking. And I learned that just because you think something doesn't mean it's true. And there's all sorts of mental activity that happens that's not helpful to us. And we get stuck in these thought loops. And I learned that, you know, for me, meditation help me learn this is when I started to meditate. And I realized that when you quiet your busy thinking mind, and you sort of sink into your body, and you move into a state of listening rather than analyzing, this is the big game changer. Because I think that, you know, people talk about the muse in creativity. You know, the muse was this Greek goddess that would come down and whisper ideas into those who are open to receiving. So if you're just stuck in your ego mind, you're not open to receiving inspiration from beyond your intellect. So for me, it's about slowing down and listening, and that's how we connect with our intuition.
Yes.
And it's in the body and in your feelings and your emotions as much as it is in your mind. It's a subtle intelligence that lives in the body, in our emotions, in our subtle mind, where we can open up that portal of intuition to connect with ideas and inspiration beyond our conscious thoughts. So rather than being on the computer's hard drive with all the files that are already there, it's like connecting to the internet. Suddenly you can download ideas that are beyond us. And instead of fishing for ideas in this shallow pond where there's really not much there, it's like fishing for ideas in a vast ocean. So moving from that ego to intuition is, there's no creativity without that.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with everything you've shared there, and such valuable points that you've shared as well, because I think it's really important that we do actually recognize that inner voice and distinguish the ego from intuition as well. But why do you think people, so many people, do hold back from sharing their voice and, you know, sharing their point of view when it comes to, or being afraid even of their intuition, or sharing exactly what they're feeling and wanting to express?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just live in a society that is not set up for that. Whether people are afraid of getting made fun of or not being good enough, or, you know, just doesn't see a usefulness in doing it. So they sort of just shut down that part of themselves, and they just kind of close the door and they walk away and say, that's just not for me. And I've seen this happen in so many people, and they still deep down, they feel this calling to create. Because again, I don't see creativity as being anything other than our truest human nature. You know, like we all live in these human bodies, right? But our bodies are animated by the life force of creation. And I mean that so literally. We're all microcosms of the life force of creation. It moves through us. And our bodies are designed to create. You know, we have these hands with thumbs that are perfectly designed to hold a paintbrush or a pen, and these vocal cords that can articulate and communicate and sing. And we are designed to express. And so many of us shut those doors and walk away, but then it subtly eats away at us little by little over the years. And the good news is it's never too late to reclaim that part of yourself. You know, the inner child it never dies. It doesn't actually grow up. It just gets suppressed. And I think the inner artist and the inner child are one of the same. So it's never too late to return to doing that. And you know, for me, it's like we talk about creativity in these terms of there's certain mediums that are considered creative: painting, literature, music. But I think anything you do in your life can be done with creativity and intuition and authenticity. You know, whether that's cooking food or raising your children, or even just if you have a more traditional career, you know, just doing that in a more creative or intuitive way. I think that anything can be an art when we approach it as such. So it's never too late to reclaim that part of ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's beautiful. Thank you so far, James, for your valuable insights. We're going to take a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good. Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm in conversation with the incredible James McRae as we explore creativity, identity, and what it really means to express yourself freely. Welcome back, James.
Thank you.
Now, James, you've built a strong creative community. What shifts for people when they feel safe enough to express themselves?
Oh my goodness, that has been such a game changer for me and for so many others. You know, at a certain point, I realized that, you know, the thing with creativity is that it's often done in isolation, especially these days where many people's expression is social media. And yeah, we call it social media, and these tools are supposed to connect us, and they do connect us, but it's sort of a very shallow connection that happens behind the screen, and we're still sort of creating and sharing in isolation. And I think there is an epidemic of lack of community all around the world right now. So at a certain point, I decided to start hosting open mic gatherings where I live here in Austin, Texas, and I called it Sunflower Club. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have big expectations. I just thought it would be fun to do maybe once. And I just saw people come and share. And, you know, my whole agenda is to hold a very safe and welcoming and supportive container for people to share. And I make a point to say, this is not a talent show, right? Anything you want to share is welcome. And it's about sharing and expression as a healing modality, to look inside of yourself, to see what's there, and to purge it out through that expression. I think that creativity is a form of purge and release. That's why I think, again, it's for your own well-being. It's emotional and spiritual hygiene to get it out. And there's one level of purge that happens when you write something in your notebook. There's sort of an energetic release. But when you stand up and you open your mouth to share it in a room full of people, there's a much bigger release that happens. So it's almost like I'm giving people space. You know, I'm holding back their hair while they can throw up into the toilet, metaphorically speaking, right? It's just, there's something healing about it. And in that sharing, but also in that community, because there's not a lot of places where you can gather and be truly seen and accepted for yourself and as an artist, whether you're an amazing artist or whether this is the first thing you've ever written and you've never shared something in public before, and this is the first time that you do it. And when there's a space where all those people are equal in our expression and we don't give out awards, we don't judge, it's so healing. And I've had so many people tell me what it's meant to them and how it helped them reclaim their own inner artist, and it helped them start making music again. And you know, I've had people come through who ended up writing books after being part of Sunflower Club, or you know, making an album and recording music and playing live concerts and all of these things. So I just love to crack people open to return to that part of themselves. And now we're doing that online as well. So if you don't live in Austin, you can't make it to the open mics here. I've got a virtual community of multidisciplinary creators from all around the world who gather to do workshops and open mics, and we have guest speakers. So this is just sort of my service to the community and to the world, is to bring people together, to create together and be seen and share. And yeah, again, I think it's just, it's my favorite form of therapy.
And I think that's such a powerful intention to set as well, where you've got all these people coming together by removing the idea of it being a talent show. I like that. And you take away the pressure and create something much more inclusive. And it allows people to show up without fear or judgment. And the idea that people are now expressing their own talents, sharing, you said some of them have become authors themselves and musicians. I think that's beautiful. So what role does honesty play in true self-expression? And how do you unpack that in your book, The Art of You, which is a beautiful book, by the way?
Thank you. Yes, the Art of You is a guidebook to reclaim your own creativity. I just think that honesty is sort of where creativity starts. Like, I think that you can make creativity, writing, art, poetry about anything. And the more you can show up authentically, the more resonance your work is going to have. You know, like if you are feeling incredibly sad and you feel deep pain or trauma, that can be really hard to express in your everyday life. Like if you have a job and you've got coworkers, it might be hard to tell them that you're struggling or to tell them that you really are deeply unhappy. So you just sort of cover it up and act like you're okay. But I like to think of art as a safe place to pour all of yourself. Like if it's not honest, it's not going to feel authentic. So it's like, if you feel depressed, you can put that into your art. And it's like a safe container to pour that. And if you feel in love, or if you feel happy, you can pour that into your art as well. It's sort of like a friend that's always there to listen in a way. And yeah, I just think that, you know, art connects people, not really through the mind. I mean, yes, you can read something and sort of be intellectually curious or stimulated by it. But it sort of cuts deeper than the mind. It sort of hits you in the body, in the gut, and your emotions. So it has to come from a true and honest place to really make a real connection. I like to say that you have to be your real self to find your real people. So if you're dealing with something, you're not the only one. I guarantee you that. And that's one thing that Sharon, your work will show you, that there are other people out there who feel the same way. And your experiences might be different, but your emotions are going to be the same. So it gives you a chance to really connect with people on an honest level. And that's what the best friendship is based on. So there's so many benefits to being true to who you are and expressing that in the world through your art, through your social media, or just through your conversations.
And that's, again, very powerful and beautiful, because so many people think they have to wait until they feel better to express themselves. But actually, that isn't the case. And that's where I think a lot of truth lies as well. That's where the depth is, because I think when you allow people to come through without filtering it, without trying to make it more acceptable, that's when it becomes something real and something that resonates with so many people. It stops being about impressing people and starts becoming about the connection you spoke about. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of your content blends humor with deeper meaning as well. What role does humor play in self-expression?
Well, it depends on the person. You know, I think, I value humor. So I try to, you know, I also want my writing to be entertaining. So I think humor is one way to be entertaining. And that's just, for me, that's just part of my voice. There are also writers I love who are not funny at all, right? So it's just about being true to yourself. But for me, I think I developed sort of a more quirky, humorous style of writing, specifically for my work on social media. Because social media, it's its own creative medium, right? There's different rules for writing a book to writing a billboard, to writing a newspaper article, to writing on social media, right? It's all writing, but there's a different approach. So for me, you know, one thing that I think people like on social media is humor. People go there to be entertained, to be, you know, sort of maybe distracted for a few minutes or whatever. So I started to, instead of writing something just like, just words with a blank background, I would start making memes. So initially, actually, my social media following started to grow when I started making my own memes. So I was blending sort of philosophy and spirituality and presenting it in a humorous way in a meme format. And that's really what allowed my account to grow, my Instagram account, which is Words Are Vibrations. Yeah. And I've gone on to even launch the first ever class that teaches the art and science of making memes. It's called Meme School. So I think that on social media in particular, humor is a good way to break through the clutter and to get people's attention in this, you know, short attention span social media economy that so many creators live in.
And I think it's such a great idea to create the meme school, because I think that form of entertainment and taking people away from the seriousness of certain philosophies and ideas, it doesn't really make anyone feel stuck in the seriousness. There's so much fear, as you said, out there in the world. And when people are able to respond with that humor and laughter, it's a great way to connect, isn't it? So thank you so much, James, for sharing with such honesty and clarity. We're going to take another short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and we're continuing this very important conversation with the amazing James McRae, exploring creativity, imagination, and authentic expression. Glad to have you back, James.
Thank you.
Now, James, how do you help someone move from overthinking into actually creating?
Wow. Well, you know, everyone's different. You know, I'm sure just like health advice, everyone's at a different place with their health. It could be diet, it could be movement, it could be something else. So it really depends on the person. I think that helping people become more of who they are and confident in their own being is critical. Being curious and doing self-exploration and finding what your own unique voice and style are. You know, I think that having some sort of a mindfulness practice is a great start for that. And also just having the confidence to share, you know, and to find out what someone's, you know, goals are. You know, some people might just want to have a poetry practice without an agenda, and other people want to grow an audience on social media and, you know, be a professional creator and entrepreneur in service to a business of some sort. So I think creativity can fill so many roles. I think that before trying to grow an audience or be a published author, you know, I think it's so important to, you know, cultivate the soil before, you know, harvesting the crops, so to speak. So, again, before making things and before creating things, I think it's so important to cultivate that soil of your subconscious and to, you know, get really clear on your intentions of what it is you want to make and why. And that's really going to help, you know, lay out a blueprint for how to do that. But I think the most important things would be to cultivate mindfulness and then find your unique style and voice, which really consistency and dedication are the most important parts of that. So, you know, I try to help people develop their own creative ritual. I think creative rituals are so important. Having a template that you can follow, a container to pour your work into, that helps you show up with consistency. So I actually have a free workshop on my website for designing your own creative ritual. And I think no matter who you are, that's a good place to start when it comes to cultivating a practice.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's so important to know why you're doing it and what you stand for, and everything else becomes so much easier. The work flows naturally because it's rooted in something solid. And whether that's for your own soul, for art, or to serve a business or a purpose. And I think that's beautiful. And making it a ritual rather than a task is genius. Because when you design it around who you are, as you said, it stops feeling like a chore and starts feeling like something you need to do. And it becomes part of your identity. And I think that's beautiful. And you speak about imagination as something powerful. How can people begin reconnecting with it?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is to think less, you know, and that's a funny thing to say because thinking, you know, thinking, what's wrong with thinking, right? Thinking is how we navigate the world around us. And it sort of is, but thinking can be harsh. You know, thinking is very, thinking can often follow this like overly linear logical process. And sometimes we need to loosen the grip of our mind. And it's sort of the equivalent to going into the unknown. You know, like we talked about the ego likes to have everything figured out. The ego likes to have an answer. The ego will grab onto an answer, whether it's right or not, just to feel the security of certainty, right? So, being an artist is a journey into the unknown. Like if I start writing a book and I write the very first word of that book, there is no way to know in advance with certainty the exact sequence of words that's going to lead to the best book, right? It's not something that's predetermined or that can be calculated with your intellect. It's a process of exploration and discovery, which is leaving behind the comfortable known and moving into a greater unknown. So imagination is sort of the unknown. You know, it's about recognizing that you don't have all the answers, but you're going to go on a journey into a dark forest to see what you can find. So loosening the tight grip of your mind and sort of softening your mind into this more expansive place of imagination or intuition. And you don't have the answers, but you're asking, what if? With each step, you're just saying, what if? What if I try this? What if I try that? And so many things you try aren't going to work. That's part of the journey of becoming an artist. It takes time. It takes that trust. It takes the trusting your intuition as it comes. So it's so important just to soften your own mental process and sinking into a more expansive imagination, intuitive state that allows you to discover new ideas.
And I love that. I think it's magic what you've just shared. And finally, James, if someone listening wanted to reconnect with their creativity this week, say, for example, what is one simple step they could take?
Well, I would say the simple step I would say would be to, the first thing that comes to my mind is to think back to when you were young and maybe think about the sort of art or writers that you were attracted to. Because I think it's so important to have mentors. And mentors can be people who have been dead for hundreds of years, right? It's like, that's the magic of art. It survives the artist and it leaves behind an artifact, which gives us breadcrumbs to follow. You know, I couldn't have found my voice without, you know, all the time I spent reading others and absorbing them and integrating them and alchemizing them into my own voice. So think back to maybe an artist that inspired you when you were young, and reconnect with them. You know, go back again, cultivate the soil before trying to harvest the crops. So, you know, and if you don't have any artists that come to mind, go on a scavenger hunt for inspiration, which means, you know, whatever you want to do, find others who are doing it well and just absorb it. Go to a concert, go to an open mic night, you know, go to a bookstore and browse the poetry section or whatever it is, and just start seeking out inspiration and make that part of your daily life, is to explore, stay curious and open, and treat the whole world like a classroom. I think every day has so much to teach us when we know how to look and know how to listen. So that would be my recommendation, just to get started right now.
And what a beautiful, inspiring note to end the show with. So, James, thank you for such a thoughtful and engaging conversation. Your insights into creativity, self-expression, and the inner dialogue we all carry have been incredibly valuable. And I know this will resonate with so many of our listeners. If someone wishes to connect with you, James, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm most active on Instagram. My handle is Words Are Vibrations. And all my links are in my bio. Check out my virtual classes, my Sunflower Club community, or to buy my book, The Art of You.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, please do share it with someone who may need to hear it. To close today's episode, I've chosen a part of the song Keep Your Head Up by Ben Howard, a song that reflects resilience, perspective, and staying grounded through life's challenges. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other.
I spent my time watching the spaces that have grown between us, and I cut my mind on second best, all the scars that come with the greenness, and I gave my eyes to the boredom. Still the seabed wouldn't let me in, and I tried my best to embrace the darkness in which I swim. Now walking back down this mountain, the strength of a turning tide, oh, the wind so soft at my skin, yeah, the sun so hot upon my side. Oh, looking out at this happiness, I search for between the sheets, oh, feeling blind to realize all I was searching for was me. Oh, oh, oh.